Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 189. G'day, Tom.
Hello. I'm out of the house for this and then back into hiding.
I spent yesterday doing Watchersville. And I was worried that the children playing next door would have been heard during the recording, but I love a good noise reduction.
Well, there are a lot of children in Watchersville.
Oh, there certainly are. You know, I'm looking forward to when we can have people in the studio.
I know.
Because I would love to do another live Watchersville play.
Wouldn't that be good?
Really fun.
We've got so much more room for many more people. We could fit the whole village in.
And the cats. Mm. Do you remember? They were the ones that were climbing up the Christmas tree.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Those pesky cats.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. It's amazing what a week does to time. Seven lots of 24 hours have gone by and all the clocks in town are exhausted from having to keep up. So today there will be no time telling or keeping as all the big and little hands have a rest and literally take time off. This could be a touch inconvenient for some of the townsfolk. But I'm sure if we lose track of how many minutes we've been sitting at those annoying red lights on High Street near the school, we'd be better off. As of Monday, the black pudding breakfast at Eckythump Cafe will cost $3 extra. Owner and cook Bill said it's because Bevan the Butcher has raised his prices on black puddings. Bevan the Butcher said that Frederica the Farmer hiked up her prices so that he has to pass it on to his customers. Frederica the Farmer said she's been planning an overseas holiday and needs the extra cash. And that's how economics work. It's forecast to be a cold and rainy weekend, so we suggest you don't go outside. Mainly because of the raining fish issue we're having again. And instead stay inside and watch the Mayor's favourite movie of all time. The 1987 smash hit starring Mark Harmon, Courtney Thornton-Smith and Kirstie Alley. I'm talking about Summer School. It'll have you forgetting about the nasty weather and thinking about being stuck in class during your school holidays. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
I have got a quiz for you as well as the quiz on Friday.
Yes.
We're doing the lunchtime quiz again on Friday, which is very exciting. Tomorrow, if you're listening to this on release day. Because you and I will be like the quiz master, clue masters.
Yes.
So I'm trying to make sure that there's lots of questions for all different people.
Sure.
Because, you know, usually I like to cater my questions to you.
Yes.
But then I thought, well, that's not good. Don't need to do that.
It's time to ask people questions about Kerry Washington, Aiden from Sex and the City.
Oh, that's so weird. I was thinking Sex and the City as well. Ooh. I think because you said Carrie.
Or members of the Channel 9 Wide World of Sports cricket commentating team from the late 80s.
I mean, it's definitely possible.
That's my dad's jam.
Oh, okay. So, well, if he promises to tune in.
You were throwing a question about Richie Beno and the boys?
I will. Nice one. I will, yeah.
Bill Laurie for life.
He'll be a real 12th man for that. So.
Yep. You did it.
I did it right. I did it. I said the words correctly. And yeah, so that will be at 12:30 Australian Eastern Standard Time on Friday.
Yeah.
On Friday, and it's going to be grouse, mate. And your quiz today is catered to you. I don't even remember what it is.
Cool.
So long ago that I wrote it. It wasn't. I wrote it this morning. It's about pets.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, woof. I don't know. Which one will it be? Mm. Only time will tell. Do you want to crack into the news?
Sure.
Whoa.
That was me cracking open a fresh can of whoop-ass news. I've got a couple of news stories. I've got two trailers.
Cool.
Let's dive into it. I haven't seen the trailer yet, but the trailer came out just before we recorded. There's a new show starting on HBO Max July 28th called F-Boy Island. F-Boy stands for fuck boy.
Right.
But fuck is spelled F-U-C-C.
Oh, very clever.
It's a thing. It's an internet thing. Are you aware of fuckboys? We're older.
Yes.
You know what a fuck.
Yes, I've spent enough time on Reddit and in their meme subreddit to understand what that is.
All right, so this is a show. It's going to be hosted by Nikki Glaser, who, if you've seen any of the roasts from Comedy Central over the last few years, she's the one that goes in real hard on people. So what I'm reading a few press releases about this show, three women go to this island for what looks like a temptation island sort of setup.
Mm-hmm.
There's 12 guys. Six of them are genuine nice guys looking for love on a TV show.
Mm.
And six of them are fuckboys there to undermine the entire experiment.
So six are there for love reasons.
Yes.
And by love you mean that they could be looking for love or they could be looking for love hearts on their Instagram accounts.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So all of these guys are going to be clamoring for attention and some of them will simp. I'm sure there'll be some simping.
Mm.
But, oh, look at me dropping terms all
you
over the place. Not a fuckboy.
Okay, that'll do.
Yes, so look forward to F-Boy Island.
When's that? That's
July
28th. Really,
that's not long at all.
No, that's
just a handful of weeks.
I love a good swerve. There was one, it was really stupid. I can't remember what it was called. Someone's going to be shouting at their phones right now. But it was on Netflix and it had a mixture of mainly English and American contestants, and they thought they were going on to Love Island, so they were like trying to hook up and match up, and then they were told there's this certain amount of money at the end. If any of you touch anybody else in a sexual manner, even kissing,
it's all over.
Money gets taken off.
Ooh.
And it's like Big Brother, it was being watched all the time. And some people were like, I can't believe you kissed her, that cost us $20,000. And then some of the others are like, I don't care about the money. I'm just going to go for it. I can't remember what it was called, but it was dumb like that. But
do you remember one of the very earliest ones, the Joe Schmo Show?
I remember the name.
It was like a fake Big Brother style house, but one of them was an actor.
Was it English?
No, there was an English one a few years ago, which was about like win a date with Prince Harry or something. Do you remember this show? There was a Prince Harry impersonator.
Yes.
And these American girls got tricked into thinking they were going on dates with actual Prince Harry. So from what I understand, it's that style
right.
of thing.
Yeah.
So
cool. Some
of the fuckboys are in on the joke
mm.
and then the rest of them are taking it very seriously. Oh, this is good. It's good.
I reckon a lot of people are going to watch this.
I think so.
Yeah. It's the kind of show, like it's got that reality show factor in there, but also just messing with everything.
Yeah. It's a shame it's HBO Max, so I don't know where that'll be for Australia. Maybe on Stan.
Or Foxtel, maybe.
Maybe
Binge.
Amazon Prime. Sometimes HBO Max stuff ends up there. You can buy the Justice League Snyder Cut on Amazon Prime in Australia. I don't know why.
Oh, okay.
I think you can on iTunes as well.
I was about to ask, is it an iTunes purchase as well?
Not in the States. US account, no, can't do it, but the Australian one, yeah.
Interesting.
Easy. I know.
That's really weird.
Answering Ryder's Pup Patrol distress calls like a pro. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Do you have, or should I say, do you want to make $870,000?
From working at home in 10 easy steps?
Yes.
Is this something you saw on a flyer?
No. I just want you to check to see if you've got any unopened copies of Nintendo's Legend of Zelda, the one that was made in 1987, because it sold for auction in America for $870,000.
I completely believe that. These things pop up on, you know, I watch a lot of porn stars. Not the naughty type.
The
Vegas guys.
That's right.
And yeah, they've recently, last few seasons, more and more video games have been coming in.
It's cool.
It's very cool. There was a copy of Super Mario Brothers that someone was looking for like $750,000.
Yeah, and that one, I love the story of that one because I remember it. They found it in like a drawer or something. I'm like, oh, I forgot I bought that in 1980, whatever. And they were like, how much would I get for this? A lot of money is the answer.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So time to hold on to all of the things that your mum tried to throw away, your PS1, your PS2.
PS Vita?
Vita, what was the other one?
PS Play?
Not PS Plus.
PSP?
Maybe you can, if you've still got your Xbox with the Red Ring of Death, keep that. Someone might want it. Retro games.
Connect with a K.
Oh, yeah.
No one's after that.
No one wanted it then.
No, not particularly. I've got some news about films that will be made or potentially made, one that makes me very happy and one not so much.
Oh, no.
Which should we do first?
Not so much then happy.
Ugh. What did I get angry about all last week? And one of the only things I said that was good about that film.
I saw this. I saw the headline. I didn't read into it.
The one redeeming feature, apart from someone repeating the word shit over and over and over about that film, was that it clearly did not set up a sequel. However, plans look like they've shifted. Amazon is very, very happy with how The Tomorrow War has performed. And are moving forward on a sequel.
So, you know how we were joking about the fact that, without giving too much away in case you haven't seen it and you're kind of keen, aliens are taking over the world. So, you know, like some drop of alien DNA or a baby alien was not caught. And
egg got out.
Yep.
Like,
I hope there's like an evil scientist, you know, like some scientists who are trying to tamper with them and then suddenly it comes to life.
Like Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm down with that.
Why not? Because Chris Pratt's in it. Like you can steal Chris Pratt from Jurassic World.
A comic book storyline of Alien or Aliens Marvel Comics are doing at the moment that is exactly that. There's a space station that's got some of the alien DNA and they're tampering with it and they should not be doing it.
I agree, just in general.
Especially because that satellite could easily crash to Earth.
They do all the time.
All the time. Well, on the flip side of that, you know how much I loved Paddington 1 and 2.
Yes.
Paddington 3 will be filming next year. No news on who the villain will be, but after getting Hugh Grant to do such a wonderful job in the last film, it could go anywhere.
Okay, my guesses are Rupert Everett.
Oh, lovely.
So Anthony Hopkins.
Right.
What about a Patrick Stewart?
Oh, I could see that, but I could also see them going the other way and getting like a Gillian Anderson and getting a very classy lady. Put together a council of powerful women. Yes. Gillian Anderson, Kate Winslet.
Emily Blunt.
Oh, Emily Blunt. Yes.
The people from The Crown. Olivia Colman.
Yes.
Olivia Colman would be really good, actually.
Oh, couldn't they have a council of queens, of women who've played queen before?
Well, you'd have to get Cate Blanchett to do an English accent. She can do it. She can do it.
Dame Judi Dench in the mix.
Yes. I love her. There's nobody that doesn't like her, right? It's impossible.
Even Vin Diesel, he got her into playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Really?
Yeah. They did a movie together and like hit it off so well that she went and was in Chronicles of Riddick.
That's so cool.
It's the same. He did the same thing with getting Helen Mirren in the Fast and Furious movies.
But Helen Mirren's got a bit of a like,
oh, she's a bit of a bad girl.
She's a bit, yeah, she's a bit of a rebel.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not too shocking. But I think Judi Dench is always game for a bit of fun because I remember last year during the beginning of COVID.
Yes.
Her grandson would be like FaceTiming her or something.
Yes.
And he would like tell her really bad jokes and she would have to come up with the punchline and she almost got all of them.
Nice.
Yeah, she's really fun. She'd be, you know, to be like, why did the lobster blush? And she'd be like, oh, seaweed. And he'd be like, ah, you got me.
Nice. Look, Paddington 3. Yes. Which would you be more excited for if they were to add French or Saunders?
Jennifer Saunders.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was going to say the likelihood would be
Dawn French. It seems very up for that sort of stuff these days.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I'd be happy. You know, I'd just be happy. Yeah. And you know, and if they don't have Jennifer Saunders in it, like I could kind of do the voice a bit during the quiet bits.
Sure. I would enjoy seeing Jennifer Saunders in a weird Cruella DeVille-esque trying to catch Paddington in order to make some sort of coat.
And say, oh, don't, just you. Oh, just that kind of.
Flustery.
Yeah, flustered. Having said that, the last thing I saw her in over and over, and it's not on repeat, is Shrek 2.
Mm.
And it's really funny to watch that movie.
Is she Fiona's mother?
No, she's the fairy godmother. Mm. And they've got all these massive stars in that movie. But she's kind of the lead character. She's in it almost.
She's in a lot.
The most.
Sure.
So that's your good news?
Yes.
I like that news. This news is for podcast lovers everywhere. You know, as a podcast, I feel the need to talk about podcasting a little bit. So I know that Netflix do podcasts about their shows.
They do,
so yes. Kind of like think the Talking Dead kind of stuff. So yeah. They, you know, they'll discuss the last episode of something or whatnot. So it's no surprise that they've actually hired like one of the big higher ups in Apple Podcasting to come on as one of their executives for their podcasting department, I guess you would call it. Now they're treating it more as marketing, right? So you have a Stranger Things podcast and that helps.
Let me put on my marketing speaker.
Yeah, go on.
It's known as extending the brand, creating narrative synergy across multiple touch points.
So, okay, as a marketing expert, what part of Apple Podcasting,
yes,
like someone who works there, what part of their experience would really
assist
the Netflix marketing podcasting?
Look, honestly, the understanding they would have of the internal hierarchy and algorithms within the Apple iTunes setup so that you could not game but like ensure that your stuff gets featured well would be a big part. They'd have key insights around ideal length of time, day, time and place. Mm. They'd also have very good understanding of what network possibilities are available, you know, what sort of pro for pro deals you can do to be featured, and you know it's a
lot.
It's hiring, makes sense. It's hiring someone who knows how the sausage is made, basically.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I think might happen here is mid-90s Disney was having a whole lot of trouble. They had opened the Disney's Animal Kingdom and stuff over in Florida and expanded very quickly. They couldn't afford to build the second half of the park and they fired a lot of the designers that had worked on it. And being in Orlando, they needed work, so they ended up getting a job at Universal. And about 18 months later, a whole bunch of new stuff opened at Universal that looked a lot like what was going to be at the Disney park.
Yeah, right.
So it's not stealing ideas, but it's taking learnings, findings, already, you know, steamrolled work, stuff that's far along enough that you could pick it up somewhere else.
Just bringing knowledge and experience in.
Yeah. And I think that's a pretty cool idea because, you know, the floor is lava, the podcast would have been pretty cool. Talk to the contestants, things like that. Confirm for young children that the person you never see again didn't die.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know why my brain went there, but it did.
And they would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for you meddling kids. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Yeah, I got two more news stories and two trailers.
Cool. Oh. Well, mine's sort of in the trailer department, so I might wait
for you. So you hold on. All right, I'll go through these. Number one, real quick one. Each year Lego does advent calendars. There's a Star Wars one that's normally a regular one. They've added a Harry Potter one that's a regular one. Whoa, very cool. But the Star Wars one this year is going to be having a Yuletide-themed Grogu. There's a baby Yoda dressed up all in Christmas red, and he's in a little red carriage.
So, okay, where do I get this? Just from Lego?
Yeah, or stores. It'll be around plenty before Christmas. But, yeah, you get to open up and do a little build each day before Christmas.
Okay, I'm getting that because I used to love advent calendars when I was a kid, like love them. The 3D ones. For some reason I wasn't so hot on the chocolate ones.
Sure.
I was like, I'd prefer to open it up and see like a little story or a cartoon.
Okay, yeah.
This sounds like the reason for me to get back into
it. It's really good fun. We get them each year. Lego generally puts out four. They do a Lego City, which is kind of the boy one. Mm-hmm. Lego City, Lego Friends, which is the girl one. Star Wars is always in the mix. And then there's another one that changes up. And it's not – sometimes they only do three, but the last couple of years they've added Harry Potter to the mix. I think there was one year where they did a jolly Christmas Voldemort. That's pretty good.
I would love to see that. I'm going to have to Google that because I can't picture that.
So that's pretty cool. And the other one that this is not, this is theme park news, whatever. Disneyland Paris have announced that they are ditching the Fast Pass system, which is the free, you know, come by, grab this ticket, and it tells you what time to come back later. So you're not lining up for hours on end. They said that they're ditching that and they're bringing in a new system named, and it sounds familiar. The Disney Premier Access instead, which is an upcharge system. That's the same name that they use on Disney Plus If you bought Black Widow the other day, then you bought it through Disney Premier Access. So they're bringing in that sort of thing, and it's going to be a pay by ride to jump the queue type thing.
Okay.
So it will be, what's the value to you as to, you know, I think it's something like $30 for four people for one ride.
Oh, it's a bit.
That's what I mean by your mileage may vary. Because I look at that and I go, yeah, that's quite, because some of these fast pass stuff, you'll pay $100 for the day.
Okay. So I don't know. It
depends on how many rides you go on. So.
Disneyland once. So,
this is what I mean. So for some people, that's entirely worth it. Some people, I'm here for a week. I don't care. I'll go on less rides, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting to see that sort of stuff come in, especially because I don't know if you saw, but the Black Widow figures came out for how well it performed. It did 80 million over 3 days, I think, in cinemas in the States, and something like 78 million internationally, which means it beat Fast 9.
Hmm.
Biggest release since Rise of Skywalker, whenever that was. But they also announced that it did 60 million on Premier Access.
That's the most.
Huge.
That's the most.
They haven't said at all, you know, Cruella, Raya and the Last Dragon and Mulan. They didn't announce how much they made from that. So they must have done pretty bloody well.
Yeah.
It made 4/5 of what it did at the cinema from that. Now, Disney gets to keep 100% of the profit from that. 100%
of
that.
Of course.
So it's kind of the equivalent, you know, one purchase of that is the equivalent of opening weekend four people buying a ticket to go to the movies, or in 2 or 3 weeks when it goes to the cheaper price tickets, almost the price of 10 tickets.
Jeez.
So it makes a lot of sense that they would trumpet that as a big win. It'll be interesting when Jungle Cruise comes out in a few weeks as to whether they announce.
That's The Rock, right?
Yes.
Yep. So, okay, if Disney celebrating and announcing that win, there's got to be scrambling in the other streaming services now to try and get those big ticket movies so that they can do this.
Well, you look at HBO now and they're not charging anything extra for all the movies they're releasing this year. They're using it as the lure to get people to subscribe. And Disney's like, no, that's what our TV shows are for.
Mm.
We have a Premier Access offering of these movies. I think it's awesome. I said last week I was bummed because I was really excited to go to the movies and see Black Widow, but it felt great. I had a 1.25-litre bottle of Mountain Dew and a big bowl of popcorn, and I sat there and I watched it on Friday night at home. Would it have been better in a cinema? Of course. Did I still enjoy it? You bet I did. Thank you, Disney.
Mm.
I had looked at a lot of other people. You know, we were very blessed last year to not get locked down too much, and there were some releases that came out and people were, you know, commenting online that they were thankful that they had that stuff because they were locked down. Mm. And I hadn't really felt that same thing of like, here's something that I was that keen for.
Mm.
But yeah, $30 to drop for that, yeah.
When you drop that $30, how long is it available for you?
So it goes free for everyone on Disney Plus mid-October. It will be released for general release then.
Mm-hmm.
But I have paid for it.
So you have it now?
Own or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
That means you get to watch it as many times as you want.
Exactly.
And for things on Disney, which for kids,
they're just going to watch that
over and over and over again. That's very reasonable.
We're doing Babysitter's Club again. But I'm very excited for, and I was going to write this on my list, and then I realized that I am the only listener that would care. But Netflix have a new season of Sesame Street dropping Friday, and I'm stoked because we have watched the 40 episodes of season 19 quite a few times.
Okay.
I saw the episode of Will Arnett doing magic again this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I've only seen that. I think I've seen it 4 times in the last.
Oh, that's not much.
Last 2 or 3 weeks. I don't know. Time is a concept. Anyway, that's enough news. What you said, you got some trailers. I've got some trailers. Do you want to hook our trailers up together and we'll convoy?
Okay.
Pull the horn.
You're not going to be surprised, but my trailer is The Witcher Season 2.
Oh, tell me about it. Yeah. I saw that and I was like, oh, Leah's going to want to talk about this.
And guess what?
What?
I'm going to talk about it.
Yes.
So in it we see Geralt and Ciri. They travel to Caer Morhen, but it's like where the witch's big castle up north. Like it's far away from everyone. That's where they all train and hang out and be witches together. So she gets to see that for the first time. She also gets to see other witches, which is cool. There's one acting a bit sassy towards her. Like, doesn't look like she'll be too welcomed.
Slow roll.
I know, right? There's training montages. You know, Geralt is practicing all of these sword moves and everything. And then there looks like a couple of threats and monsters. And it'll be available, got a while on Netflix, not till the 17th of December.
Mm.
But also during all of this, Henry Cavill was asked about his voice, right?
Oh, sure. I have a Henry Cavill story that I'll share afterwards.
Okay, cool, cool, cool. So he was talking, they were talking about why he was that gruff version of Geralt, which is pretty much the voice that Doug Cockies, I think his name is. He does the voice of the Witcher in the Witcher games.
Sure.
And apparently, like, Henry went into the audition or whatever, and he was like, oh, I'm going to do this voice. And they were like, cool. Maybe not do that voice, just do your own. And he went, oh, okay. And then and they started filming. And he was doing his normal voice until there was one scene and he just kind of forgot. So halfway through the scene, he's like, I'm doing the Geralt voice again. And then he went, oh, sorry, I did the Geralt voice. And they went, you know what? It kind of does work now that we're in like filming and it's in the setting. So we'll go back and refilm all the stuff that you did in your normal voice. He's saying he was inspired with the voice. So he's not like doing a full-on impersonation. It's inspired. Sure. I think subconsciously he forced it.
Yeah, he wanted it to happen. Yeah. Look, he's such a lovable nerd. I know you and I have talked about his Warhammer love before. I think it was in that same interview. There was a clip that's gone very viral in the Warhammer community over the weekend where he like stops for a moment. He's like, I'm really sorry. I'm just totally distracted by this chandelier. Do you know Warhammer? It looks just like a Blackstone fortress, which is incredibly deep lore.
Yeah, right.
But everyone's just like, it does look like a fucking Blackstone fortress.
That's
good
great.
Call.
That's great.
But yeah, it's yeah.
That's very
he did
fun.
An interview a few weeks ago, and like behind him on the oh no, in front of him on the shelf, there was a book there by Dan Abnett, who's a very, very good writer, comics and all this sort of stuff. Mm. But he has one series that he wrote for Warhammer called Inquisitor, and there's been rumors swirling. I believe we've talked about they're doing a live action series of Inquisitor. So he had it featured very prominently. Then a week later, he was photographed on a plane and it was in front of him reading there. So there's all these clues going at the moment that he might be delving really deep into that lore for a reason.
That's, I mean, if you're going to include anybody.
He's just the perfect spokesman. Mm. Same deal with The Witcher. He's someone who loves this stuff. It means something to him.
Yeah.
You know?
It kind of reminded me, like the whole voice story kind of reminded me of that story that we got from The Phantom Menace, where Ewan McGregor was apparently told to stop making the lightsaber voice sounds. Stop making it. We're going to put them in later.
Stop it.
Sorry, I didn't know it was.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Trailers. You have more.
I do. We've talked about the Marvel series What If before, but there was another trailer that came out the other day and all sorts of other cool stuff in there. I'm very excited for that. So that's in August. Not long to wait
at all.
That's
really soon.
Yes, 10 episodes. It looks like there's going to be one episode where Tony Stark does not get the shrapnel in his heart. He's saved by the bad guy from Black Panther. Yeah, Killmonger. So he may go further down the rabbit hole of being an arms dealer or creating bad stuff.
So just remind me.
Yes.
In What If, it's animated.
Yes.
They've got Robert Downey Jr. and all the originals voicing.
I believe the only people not involved are Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, and there was one, maybe Pratt.
It can't be Ruffalo because he.
Ruffalo's in?
Yeah, because he's also in She-Hulk, right?
Yeah, he'll do anything. It's Chadwick Boseman's last work. He recorded his lines for the Black Panther stuff.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's a bit of a nice send-off for him.
Yeah.
There's one episode where Peter Parker is Doctor Strange, and it looks like he might be fighting an evil Doctor Strange from a hell universe or something.
And that's Benedict? Or are they Tom Holland?
Tom Holland and Benedict and all sorts of stuff. So anyone that's popped up in anything before can come back. It looks like there's a lot of dead characters that are going to be back somewhere else and stuff.
Maybe we'll get Scarlett Johansson.
Very good chance. Mm. I think it's a very cool way to expand things out without messing with the continuity of the films.
It's very comic-y too, isn't it?
Super comic book-y.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be good. The other trailer that it got me, cool. I'm excited to watch this, is for Woodstock 99.
I remember watching that.
Me too. I paid for a pay-per-view. Yep.
Me
and
too.
Stayed home for the weekend, yep. And it was great.
We loved it. We loved it so much, just watching it all. But
it looks like from this documentary that everyone who went to it did not have such a great time.
I didn't realize because exactly the same as you, we only saw what was being shown, right? And it wasn't until I saw that Is It Pop documentary and they were talking about festivals. I was like, oh, I didn't know any of this happened during Woodstock 99.
So, yeah, I saw a lot of that stuff happen elsewhere and stuff. And, you know, I was very into Limp Bizkit and a lot of those bands at the time and everything. So there was a lot of statements statements from Limp Bizkit about it. And then sure enough, like a year later, they came here for Big Day Out and a girl died here.
Right, okay.
Yes, so it wasn't just Woodstock that it was the problem. Yeah. Limp Bizkit was part of it. But, yeah, this looks like it's going to be quite the revealing trailer and a revealing film and show everyone that it wasn't just Fyre Festival. This stuff happens all the time with festivals.
Oh, it's right up my alley, this stuff.
It starts with Moby going, look, you get a sixth sense of this stuff when you're a performer, when you arrive at a festival, what the vibe is like, and pulling up at the gate, you knew this one was going to go.
Oh, really?
And that's the beginning of the trailer. And you're like, ooh. There's a lot of people rolling around in what they thought was mud.
Oh, no.
That was not mud.
Wait, was this near like Portaloos?
It's just everywhere.
Oh, no.
Sewage lines broke. Portaloos tipped.
Oh, see, I got it, you know, to watch all of it. I remember Red Hot Chili Peppers were there as well. But I got it to watch mainly Alanis Morissette. And knowing more about what happened, I'm now fascinated to hear what the reception for her really was.
Yeah, look, I want to see this as well because there's going to be a real split. There's going to be the, you know, you've got your big names, your Korn, Limp Bizkit, Marilyn Manson, Rage Against the Machine. And I'm sure they flew in, performed, partied for a bit, and then left. But then, as you say, you've got people more like Alanis Morissette. Jewel was one of the big performers there and stuff like that.
Because they were massive at that time. And then you've got
like Gusta and G Love and Special Sauce and all these blues and roots and funk bands and stuff like that who would have just been like, what the hell is going on here? What have we been swept up into?
Yeah. What a bizarre mix. But it was the music of that time.
It was.
That was the stuff that was really popular, but clearly.
Seven Dust.
Far out.
Rammstein.
Kid Rock.
Yes, Kid Rock was there. DMX.
Yep.
Beastie Boys. Wait, it was quite a show.
Wait, where's this documentary showing?
I can't remember. I didn't make a note of where it's coming to.
Okay. As long as it's not like only available on something that we don't have. I'm happy to buy that one.
I'll let you know where that's at when it's out.
That's cool. Okay. Cool. Any other trailers?
No other trailers, no other news, but I've got something special for you.
Are we talking about a
fun fact? It's just a fun fact. You can put it in your lunch sack or jam it up your jacksy. So this is actually like two or maybe three facts that I learned and I strung them together because it's a bit of a, ooh. So imagine how differently 90s comedy and films would have panned out and been shaped if. So Jim Carrey, he declined the role of Dr. Evil in Austin Powers.
Really?
Yes. Originally, it had been written with him in mind. Mike Myers was not going to play both roles.
How did I not know this?
But Jim Carrey turned it down because he was committed to Liar Liar. He was excited to play Liar Liar because it was the first opportunity he'd had to play a normal person.
Oh, no makeup.
Now, Steve Martin had originally been booked to be in Liar Liar. It had been set up for Steve Martin. However, he bailed on the project because he was more committed to one of his passion projects. And it didn't say, but looking at timelines, I'm pretty sure it was Sergeant Bilko.
Oh, yeah.
Which he was like, that was his baby. And he spent 2 years championing that along. And yeah, I think he walked away from Liar Liar for Sergeant Bilko So Jim Carrey stepped in there and Mike Myers stepped up and played both roles. Can you imagine how different 90s comedy would have been if not for Sergeant Bilko?
And that movie, I barely remember anything from it at all. I love that kind of stuff. And I'm genuinely shocked, considering it involves three not only big actors but big movies at the time, that I knew nothing of this.
That's what I mean. That's oof.
Wow.
There's a whole lot of this stuff that goes on, of things shopping around and you know, something being created as a vehicle for someone, and then they have to walk away, and then someone of a lower tier gets to step up, and then that's their breakout thing.
That's the moment. Wow. Okay. So I can actually genuinely see Jim Carrey as Dr. Evil.
Definitely, because that's kind of what he did for Sonic. Very Robotnik.
Yeah.
Over the top.
And I can see that like the father of the bride, you know, like exacerbated, like Steve Martin in Liar Liar.
Doing the claw.
Yeah. But I still think Jim Carrey he turned that up a notch or five more than Steve Martin ever would have.
Yes.
And I still remember the Liar Liar credits, you know, with all the bloopers. They're very funny. Very funny. Okay. Well, thank you very much. They were amazing facts.
You're welcome.
It's now time for watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
What do you watch? What do you watch?
We really have to start. You need to tell me why I should watch Black Widow.
Haven't you watched it yet? Huh?
No.
How come? Just not? Didn't feel like $30?
No, by the time I realized that it was there, I was like, oh, I don't have time for this. Sure.
Look, I really enjoyed it. I would give it a solid B to B plus.
Mm-hmm.
It very much falls in with the other solo movies of, you know, a cool adventure. This is set between the events of Captain America Civil War and Avengers Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So it's filling in some gaps of what Natasha was up to at that time.
Aren't there flashbacks or not? Or this is it?
There are kind of, I'm trying to dance around. Okay. There is a flashback to the early 90s that the film starts with Natasha as a young teenager.
I think that's what I'm thinking about. Yes. That might have been in one of the early trailers.
Yes.
Yep.
Kind of like the Americans, she's undercover. In America, you know, as a sleeper agent, this sort of stuff.
Yep, yep.
And then, yeah, the rest of the film is set. Okay. This far forward, and it's kind of dealing with what Natasha has talked about before in the past of her having read in her ledger, having things she needed to wipe clean. And this is kind of clearing the slate and helps us understand why, when we saw her in the Avengers movies, in Infinity War especially, she was much more motherly and protective of the group. That sort of fills in that. David Harbour is fantastic.
The photos and whatnot that I've seen of him, it looks like he is more than happy to be dressed in a superhero costume.
Yep. And once he gets it on, it doesn't come back off. I would say he steals the film, but Florence, now do you say P-U-G-H, Florence, yes. She steals the film.
Yeah. That's what I've heard. I've heard it's
she takes everything that Scarlett Johansson had done and puts comedy in. And it just works. Mm. Sprinkling a Russian accent and stuff, but oh my goodness. So whereas Natasha had survived the ordeals she'd going through by focusing on goodness or heart and this sort of stuff, her sister, that's not really his sister, Yelena, developed an acerbic wit. So it's not self-aware like Deadpool, but it's just that shit talking all the time and stuff. So she's great. Rachel Weisz is great. Ray Winston. A lot of cool people popping up in smaller roles. Far less super than a lot of this, than some of these other movies and stuff, because, you know, we're just dealing with peak humans rather than super-powered people and things like that. And
did you miss it?
No.
Okay.
No, this each Marvel property feels a bit different. This was Marvel doing a female Jason Bourne. You know, some very cool hand-to-hand fights.
I know
lots of explosions.
I know some people who would not necessarily watch a lot of Marvel stuff, but given that as a synopsis, would watch it.
Yeah. And there is a mid-credits scene that does set things up, and I don't want to spoil this one if you've not seen.
Yeah, I'll get to it. I'm definitely going to get to it. I knew that you would have enough, yeah, to tide over my lack of watching this.
And like I said, I would have loved to have seen it on the big screen. Mm. I think it weirdly did feel kind of like a big version of one of the TV shows, just because I was watching it at home. But it did feel bigger than the TV shows.
Yeah, I get you. Did it feel old in that it was made? I know it was only made maybe probably 2 years ago, but did it feel like there was stuff that you've seen in the TV shows that have kind of superseded what it's supposed to? Like where? Because you know how it was supposed to sit in a particular spot and then it kept getting pushed forward?
They maybe changed with ADR one line.
Okay.
And it syncs back up again.
Okay.
And I'm really trying to dance around it here. The way that it syncs, the person that appears, where we've seen them elsewhere, it doesn't really spoil anything, what order they'd have appeared in.
Mm-hmm.
It just colours each of them.
So gives context.
Yeah, if you'd seen this one first, you'd see the other one and be like, oh. Whereas this one, by seeing it the other way around, you're like, oh, okay. I see where she, okay, that's where she's going to be next. All right, cool.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
So there's a bit of that in there.
All right. I'm going to watch it by next week, I promise. I promise. This week I was very busy getting back to the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching This Life on, well, here in Australia, SBS On Demand. They were like, here's the two seasons of This Life. And I went, I'm watch the hell out of those. This show.
Yeah, I saw you post about this. I don't know this show.
Oh, this is the first time I ever saw Andrew Lincoln.
Okay.
I think it's one of his first roles. And he plays Egg, or it's not Egbert. Edgar, I think, is his name, but they call him Egg. And he lives in a share house with a group of other newly employed lawyers straight out of uni. So they all went to uni together. They all know each other pretty much.
Right.
And it's the trials and tribulations of these young, are they attorneys in England? I can't remember. Lawyers? Oh gosh, it's so, some of it's so 90s. Like, you know how the 90s were really into saying, come on, this is the 90s. People don't, and then insert whatever they want. This is the, they say it about four times in the first two episodes. I'm like, oh, this is so the 90s. But it's a real point of the 90s that you can pinpoint perfectly. 1996, like you can hear in the background of stuff, Radiohead, Pulp, Blur, Oasis, like they've got Oasis posters, like it's that Britpop sure. stuff, you know, like in that episode that we were watching of Is It Pop? And this is This is Pop. And even the way stories are told, and they've been like cutting edge, just real edgy stuff. And you're like, this is edgy for 20 odd years ago.
Edgy.
It's not that edgy anymore. But yeah, if you want to have a look at Andrew Lincoln, very young, watch it. A lot of people, I reckon, would remember this show.
Okay.
They may not have watched it, but they would remember that it was a thing. Particularly if you're from the UK, I reckon you'd go, oh, yeah, no, I know that. I know that one. But I've been doing it whilst doing jigsaw puzzles.
Okay.
So I don't need to watch it, unlike something like Black Widow where you kind of need to watch it. And it's just nice getting back into something that puts you back at a particular era of your life. You're like, oh,
yeah.
Remember all this. This is good.
I get that anytime I watch Human Traffic. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Nice one, brother. Yeah. Takes me back.
What else have you been watching?
I watched season two of I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson, which is the short sketch comedy show on Netflix.
Mm.
Season two dropped on Friday. They're only 15 to 16 minute episodes.
I remember you saying that they were, different sort of lengths.
Yes, and there were six episodes and they were great, and I'm not going to single out anything because it's one of the, like, I don't know. I really, really enjoyed it, and it has a habit of highlighting social conventions that you don't really even like. You're not even aware that you're buying into all the time.
Yeah.
So, for example, there's one sketch where there's a young guy and he's leading a ghost tour in a house, and it starts off and he's got the group around. And he's like, "All right, everyone, we're going on this ghost tour," and he's like making a few jokes, get everyone comfortable. He's like, "We're all, you know, it's after 10 o'clock, which means it's the adults tour, so we can talk like adults. That means we can swear." And one guy puts his hand up. He's like, "So we can say anything we want?" And he's like, "Yeah, we can." He's like, "All right, I have a question." He's like, "Yeah." He's like, Do any of these fuckers come down and like poke their horse cocks through the wall?" And the guy's like,
"Stop talking."
"What? No." And it goes on and on of this guy saying the most awful things. And the tour guide's like, "You can't talk like this." And he's like, "But you said we could say what we want."
So you think it's going to go in one direction, and it clearly just goes
every time. And it's always about so the characters that Tim tends to play, I think, would fit very nicely in early Adam Sandler movies, where it's that blustering, boisterous man-child who can't be told he's wrong.
Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison.
It's Chris Farley. It's that sort of stuff.
But
it's taking that character and the self-assuredness that was appropriate in the 90s and slapping it in 2020 comedy. It breaks every social convention. And so this show is really funny.
I remember you being very...
I was obsessed with the focus group, the car focus group. "What? I just want a car with a gray steering wheel that don't whiff off when you drive."
I'm going to have to watch this.
You have no good car ideas. "Who is a teacher's pet now, Paul?" Yes, I'm obsessed with that. There's not one that's quite on that same level. That one was transcendental. That was something else.
Yeah.
There's some really funny, bizarre stuff, and there's some stuff that's clearly made to be memed, because the first show got memed the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
It's clearly there's stuff in there that they've gone, "This will probably go a bit viral."
And do you reckon they're right? Like,
it's already done? Yeah, it already has. It's doing its thing.
Okay, great. I watched a movie on Amazon Prime, which I saw that had been nominated for awards. I think it was last year. I actually think Rosamund Pike either won it or...
Oh, is this...
I Care a Lot.
I Care a Lot.
Have you seen this movie?
I haven't seen it, but I also got served an advertisement with it the other day.
Okay. What it looks like it is...
Yes.
About 15 minutes in... Suddenly they add on this extra layer.
Is she a time traveler?
No, unfortunately not. But you won't get angry about that. But you suddenly go, "Oh, okay, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to let this movie take me on a ride." It's really good.
Yeah?
It's really good. Peter Dinklage, amazing.
Oh, of course.
Because he's Peter Dinklage. Diane Weiss, amazing because she's Diane Weiss. There's some swerve balls in this, and you would like it.
Yeah.
You would, yeah. Because the way the trailer sets it up to be like, "Oh, this is a bit yucky." Like what she's doing. So she's a guardian for people in like aged care facilities who don't have any immediate relatives. And it's like you can kind of tell within the trailer she's taking advantage of them.
Yeah, she's swindling their money.
Exactly,
isn't she?
Exactly.
Does it feel like she's a female Kevin Spacey? I feel like this is the sort of thing where she'd break fourth wall, talk to camera and be like, "Here's how I'm going
to
do it."
Yeah. She doesn't talk to the camera, but she does this horrible smile before she says something to someone, and you're like, "Oh, you're about to say something horrible."
She's the perfect person to play live action Elsa, can I just say, from Frozen. I remember her in, I want to say, Die Another Day. It might have been the James Bond movie where he drives a car on ice. There's an ice crystal palace, and she's in that and stuff. And ever since then, I've been like, she needs to be a snow princess in something. And then when Frozen came out, I was like, "Damn, this is Rosamund Pike. It's going to happen for you.
It's going to be the moment." This movie was so much more than I thought it was going to be. I liked it so much more than I thought I was going to.
Awesome. Next week we'll have the finale of Loki.
Yeah.
I think we wait until then. Yep. There were bits and pieces from that also appeared in the What If trailer.
Okay.
A bit of a crossover there.
Cool.
Similar sort of stuff.
All right.
Which is Very, very cool. But I will say that Disney Plus added a very short, I think it's 6 minutes total, Simpsons episode. Did you see this one called The Good, the Bart and the Loki?
No.
Oh, it wasn't good.
Oh, that's a shame.
It was fine. Tom Hiddleston was on it, and it was him tricking his way into the Simpsons household and stealing Bart's place.
He's a trickster rickster.
He certainly is. It's nice that they're doing these little things. I did, however, enjoy that there was a bit of an Avengers Assemble moment to beat up Loki. Mm. And all sorts of various characters ran in to help out, including Ralph as the Hulk and Mole Man as Mole Man. Hans Mole Man was dressed as Fantastic Four villain Mole Man. And I can't remember whether it was Maggie or – no, I think it was Ralph as Hulk throws – Bart as Loki around like Hulk's. So it was a fun little throwaway thing. I know they did one for Mandalorian and this sort of stuff. Keep going with it.
Yeah, keep doing it.
Find some relevance. It's the first time I've watched Simpsons in many years.
Yeah, I haven't watched it for a long time. I'm kind of all right at the moment. There might be a time where I'll jump into it. I'm just sitting there, but are you ready for a quiz?
Hang on. Yep.
This one is called What Pet Does This Celebrity Have?
Okay. Are we saying actor on screen, what's their pet? Or are we saying in real life, what do they have?
In real life, what do they have?
Okay.
So you don't have to say.
Because like Tracy Morgan has sharks. I don't know why. Yes. I decided to be Tracy
that was
Morgan
really
then.
Good. But I like that. No, these are just celebrities and they post pictures of their pets or, you know, let's see, and you can.
Sure.
I've not gone for crazy animals.
All right, so I'm not going to find a chinchilla or an iguana.
No, you're pretty much. I'm just having a look.
Cat, dog, bird, maybe fish.
It's all cat and dogs.
All right.
All cat and dogs.
Are we looking for breeds or just?
Oh, I'm not too good with breeds, but you can have a guess. If I've written it down.
All right.
There's one that's really vague and I've gone, it looks like a this or this.
Okay.
Ryan Reynolds. What would he have?
He'd have a dog. Surely he'd have a dog.
He's got a dog. All right. What kind of size?
Small.
A medium sort of dog.
A medium dog, okay.
Kind of like a smaller looking golden retriever. I'm only basing this on one photograph.
All right. He has a dog.
He's got a dog,
it's
guys.
It's dog sized.
He's got a dog. Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift has a cat.
How many of them?
Quite a few. She's Taylor Swift.
She's got trois.
Three.
That's three.
Three. Okay. Three. No, that's three not quite cats. A few. That's just a few.
It's just a few. It's a few.
But still, cats.
Cats. She's a cat person.
Loves it. She was in a movie about them.
That's true. You didn't see that, did you?
No.
I wasn't sure if maybe you would have hate watched it, but I
considered it.
What about Ms. Jennifer Aniston?
Ms. Aniston. She'd have a cat.
She's got a dog.
She's got a dog.
She announced the fact that she had voted in their past election, federal election, by having her photograph taken with a grey shaggy looking dog and a sticker that says "I voted."
Oh, good. Maybe the I hope dog she captioned voted. It. I paused to vote.
Good. No. Wasted opportunity if she didn't. What about Hugh? Hugh Jackman, good Aussie bloke.
Hugh Jackman.
What would he have?
He'd have a dog, wouldn't he?
Got a dog.
He used to have a bloody blue heel or something, wouldn't he?
Well.
Wait, skip.
Come back here.
Surely when he made Australia.
Yeah.
Wouldn't he have taken one of the droving dogs home or something like that?
Gone, get it.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen him photographed in New York on the pavements there. No, the sidewalks.
Yes.
And it looked like kind of a pug or like a small, short bulldog, sure. But not like an English bulldog. I think it's a mix.
Yeah.
This is why I said you can't ask about the
He'd have a bit of a mongrel dog. Good on him. He wouldn't be buying a bloody.
Oh, I'd be getting it from the shelter.
Yeah, I don't need no popping bloody down. Breeder thing.
Saving a dog's life. We've been talking about Marvel a bit, and she is a Marvel character. I'm talking about Kate Dennings.
Dennings? Who's Kate Dennings?
Actually, I changed it because it was too obvious. She's got a cat.
Oh, she's got a cat. Oh, I see what you've done there.
That was too tricky.
Well done.
That was too tricky. Yeah, long-haired, like tabby cat, stripy, grey.
I completely believe that. Go home from her two broke girls.
Pat the cat.
Pat the cat.
That's right. Final one, Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart.
What do you reckon she would have? I mean, who's her best friend?
She'd have a dog. She'd have a dog for sure.
Yeah, she's got dogs. In fact, cats she's got is, four
cat,
of them.
Cats snitch. Cats sell you out. She doesn't stand for that.
She doesn't want. She doesn't know any of that. No. And Snoop Dogg's her friend. Like, it just makes sense. Like, I think it'd be awkward if you invited Snoop Dogg over and you're like, and here are my cats that don't like dogs.
I hope she's got like Rottweilers or Great Danes or something big that patrols her property.
I bet she does.
So you stay the fuck out of Martha's Vineyard.
See how well tailored we can get these quizzes to be, because I know I don't need to cater to anybody but you for these quizzes.
That's right.
It's brilliant. It's great. Yeah. But the one on Friday is going to be a bit different, because you're not answering the questions.
No, I'm not. I shan't be.
You're the official clue master.
I'll give you some hints. Mm. That's what I do.
Yep. So we'll be doing that 12:30.
You can picture me and I'm like in Cliffhanger and I'm leaning back, hand outstretched, ready to grab you and drag you up behind me.
That's you.
Me.
Yeah, don't you worry.
But you have to reach.
You've got to do some of the work. It's not all you.
I can't do all the work.
No, you shouldn't have to. So 12:30, it's going to be a lunchtime quiz once again. So tell us what you're eating. Once again, I would be very keen for someone to post a picture of their food.
Oh, we'd like to see
the comments, like some
lunch. Chomp, chomp, chomp.
And you know, get yourself organised so that you're ready to eat lunch 12:30-ish.
Yes, or if you're at a different time location, whatever meal is appropriate where you are.
Now, I wonder like what Kerry from WA will have. She had a... Not a crumpet.
Cronut. No.
Cronut.
Duffin.
Duffin.
Was it a duffin?
What's a cronut again?
Cronut is croissant donut.
No, it wasn't one of those. It must have been the duffin.
A duffin is a donut muffin.
I think
that's
there's
a cruffin. Was she having a cruffin, a croissant muffin? Nah, I don't know. I don't know. Whatever she was having, it was 10:30 for her. I thought it was earlier, but it was 10:30 for her. So there you go. 10:30, we'll see you.
Yes.
Ever in the US. It'll be Thursday evening. Over in the UK, it'll be about 3 a.m. Friday morning.
So set your alarms.
Hey, fucking football's not coming home. You've got nothing better to do. Come do a quiz with us.
Yeah, come do quizzes. It's fun. We have so much fun doing it.
It's never coming home. Stop it. It's never coming home.
On that note, Tom, thank you very much.
Drink slurm.